Welcome to the Militant Grind Show, where we dive deep into the journeys of those who've mastered the art of being their best selves. Every episode is a testament to resilience, dedication, and the pursuit of excellence, embodying our tagline, the most honorables. Here you'll find inspiration, insights, and strategies to elevate your life in every aspect. For more empowering content and to join our community of achievers, visit us at militantgrind.com. Let's embark on this journey together because the grind never stops. Are you ready for a radical transformation? Join the ranks of the most honorables. Our proven methods forge resilience, sharpen strategic thinking, and unlock your true potential. We'll challenge you mentally, physically, and spiritually, preparing you to overcome any obstacle. Visit militantgrindacademy.com and begin your evolution. Greatness awaits. Forge your path. Ignite your future. Most of all, join the movement.
Welcome to the Militant Grind podcast today. A very special guest. I know I say that all the time, but I'm very serious at this moment. My brother, Ben X, how you doing today, sir?
Man, I'm doing black and highly favored.
I'm blessed. Don't forget blessed, man, because I've seen you moving through the ranks, bro. And it's for years, you just been so consistent, just pushing. And you're a testament with consistency, dedication, and also working within righteousness, good things could happen.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I say when you're black, you are blessed. So it's one and the same.
Oh, yeah. I heard that. I definitely could understand that. But then we also have to know that we are blessed and know that we can have the blessed lives that we deserve. And one thing that I've noticed that talking to one of my brothers earlier, and he said that most of us think that we have to be demons or coerce people or manipulate people to be successful in life. Like, we are taught that the people, the higher ups, they were a-holes, or they were this, or they were that, or they sold drugs. And like, basically, we do have the examples, but we weren't afforded many examples of people being uber successful without doing something detrimental to somebody else. Yeah. And I feel like now we're in a different time where we see people actually being successful by doing right by others, by impacting others, by doing good by others. And that's one thing that you're showing a lot of us, especially some of the young black men out there. Because I remember when you started, people were sending me your reels and your videos of Minister Farrakhan speaking. And I was like, wow, I don't even know how he's finding this footage, but this is intense. But it was more so you're pushing out the word and righteousness to people. My father was in the Nation of Islam. I grew up with those beliefs and things like that. So I grew up in a Muslim household. And the way that we were perceived growing up was different. Like, people didn't agree with us. We were, oh, y'all going to hell and all of these different ignorant thoughts. And now to see that someone like you is putting the message out there and it's being received with grace, it's, wow, I would have never thought that this could ever happen.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. It's a blessing, man, because when I first came into the Nation of Islam, the clips stem from how I learn. Mm-hmm. I'm not someone who is a big reader from cover to cover. I go look for exactly what I need. And as I listened to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, as I was coming into the Nation of Islam and studying, I found that, man, this is a 3-hour lecture, but there is a 50-second soundbite. There's a 2-minute soundbite that could change somebody's life because he's dealing with so many issues within a 3-4 hour period. So the lecture may be called Accept the Challenge. The lecture may be called Man and His Mission, but he's dealing with so many issues that a black man or a black woman may be going through. You can't deny the truth that's coming from him because he's not this ritualistic man where you have to be Muslim in order for it to be helpful, or you got to be Muslim in order for him to help you. In fact, he already knows what you are. We are born that way by nature, whether we accept it or not, because a Muslim simply means one who submits their will to do the will of God. Yeah. So for me, I always wanted to choose specifically, intentionally, clips that the average person couldn't deny. Like, it's just a principle. It ain't got nothing to do with your beliefs. It ain't got nothing to do with whether if you believe Allah came in the person of Master Father Muhammad. No, man, this man just said that the man is the provider. This man just said that we need to have our own school. This man just said that, man, we need to come together and practice atonement, reconciliation. Every black man and woman got to go through that. So when I saw that so many people had to minister and just the teachings misunderstood, and if they just saw it in another way and they saw the clips that the media wouldn't show, they saw the clips that the white man wouldn't show back in the day on their shows, they probably would say, man, I've been misled. Man, this man really do have something that can change my life. And then they would have a better picture and idea of why and how so many people at that time and still now are being resurrected, because now if they don't go to the mosque, you can get it on social media. So that's why I always say, I'm gonna stay on YouTube, I'm gonna stay on Instagram, I'm gonna stay wherever our people are, because they're the ones who need the message.
Yeah, man, that's actually amazing. And how, did you grow up in a Christian household, or did you grow up Christian? Or
yeah, I grew up Baptist.
Baptist, okay. And when did, what made you convert to, not convert, but join the Nation of Islam?
And by 2000, Brother Malik Muhammad, our study group coordinator, came and spoke at our school about the role of the male and the female. And I was in like Black history class or something like that, Black studies.
Mm-hmm.
And he was giving out his card to everybody before he spoke. And when he was speaking, he broke down the role of the male and the female and how the man is the provider. I always wanted to be a provider. I saw my mom struggle, work hard, and she never really took a break for herself because she was the provider, basically, because my dad got his leg amputated. So she was just a hard worker, and I always wanted to free her. So one of my biggest goals since I was in middle school has been to retire my mom, and I was able to do that before she passed. But the brother had broke down how his children was all homeschooled. None of them went to the public school. All of them graduated around the age 15, 14, 16. And it was an example. And he was a businessman. So he had been doing for self for, I think, couple decades at that time. So he was free. So he was a living example of what we read in Message to the Black Man. Mm-hmm. And as I began to study, I found out that Muhammad Ali was also in the Nation of Islam. And when I saw that he was an athlete, but he also was funny and had a personality, but stood on truth, it reminded me of, it attracted me, because that's how I am. I like to have fun. I like to tell jokes. I like to laugh, but I like to get the truth out there as well. So it's easy to take in when you're laughing and it's relatable. And that's kind of what I was attracted to about Muhammad Ali. And as I began to look at the minister's lectures in full, because I never heard of him at that time, this is around the time he was doing The Time and What Must Be Done. So that was a deep series. He's talking about international wars and all this stuff. Man, I'm a basketball player. I don't know nothing about overseas and all this type of stuff. And right. So as I began to look at other lectures that he had from the Final Call building back in the day in the 80s and the 70s and the early 90s, I'm like, man, what he's saying in this lecture, I still need that today in 2022, 2020, 2019. Yeah. So that's where the thought process came from. Let me go get these past lectures that we probably, my generation haven't seen. Let me bring it back, because what he said then still applies now. And as he began to teach us the exegesis of the scripture and the meaning of it and where we are in scripture and breaking it down to where it's easy to understand, I said, yeah, man, this is for me. And it was tailored for the Black man and woman.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, I didn't even like white movies, all white movies, all white TV shows. It's not because I'm racist per se. It's because I like to be around my own. I love my own people. I grew up around my own people. I believe you should do for yourself before you do for others. And when I came into the nation, a lot of stuff that they was teaching and what I was learning, I naturally already believed it before I even came in. Mm-hmm. And so after I saw first the example of Brother Malik Muhammad, I started to get the real understanding of just the Bible, which I love to read, but I didn't really understand it as much. But I got more understanding after I came into the Nation of Islam. You learn about the FOI, how they're not judgmental. They see a brother with his pants sagging. We're not your judge. We came from that same condition. They are going literally to save them. Mm-hmm. Growing up Christian, you hear those type of people being condemned. Oh, nigga got tattoos and, you know, sagging and doing all this. When I started to look at the scripture, it says that Jesus sat amongst the sinners because they are the ones who need the message, not the one who claimed to be already healed. He said he was in the highways and the byways. It wasn't until I came into the Nation of Islam where I seen Black men on that scale going to the hood, going to the projects, not judging them, but giving them a word that will uplift them. And so that was attractive to me because it wasn't bedside Baptist. where we just get up early in the morning, or we may listen to it on our phones, or we may listen to it only virtually, or we may only go to the church during Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. No, it was a military. It was every single day you raising your hand that you're going to be a part of this mission. So it was serious. And then lastly, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, if I took a picture of this whole room, who's the first person you're going to look for when you look at the picture? Yourself. Trying to see, man, is my hair, man, did I smile good? Mm-hmm. He said, the reason our people aren't interested in the education of today, et cetera, is because they don't see themselves in the picture of life. So when I joined the Nation of Islam, I saw myself in the picture. I saw how I could take my gift, which was content, and I can use it to give it back to God. And when I gave it back to God, it was able to blow me up. And then I began to start to, even before I joined the Nation of Islam, experience what the scripture said. It said, you'll be hated for my name's sake. You'll be lied on. You'll be persecuted. Nobody had anything to say when I was just a Christian talking about some Jesus from 2,000 years ago. But when I talked about the exalted Christ and the Messiah and I missed, that's when I start to experience what the Bible said I would experience when you start to follow him. So that's what made me jump on in, and it done took off and I ain't looked back.
It's crazy, man, because I actually posted that same quote yesterday that Jesus said in the Bible, your brothers will be against you, your friends, your family, but as long as you, a hair on your head will not be touched and you shall live forever, something like that. But yeah, it was almost the same scripture. And I was like, man, you have to stand on truth. You can't let the allures of the world get to you. You have to just steadily remind yourself who you are and keep going, because it's easy to slip. It's easy to go astray. It's easier to go astray than it is to just stay on the straight and narrow path, for sure. Yeah. So it's, man, being consistent with it, making sure that you're on top of yourself, you're on top of others, and giving the truth no matter what people say. Because I see you going back and forth with a lot of people, and I'm just, man, sometimes I sit back and laugh. I'm just like, man, I remember them days. You know what I'm saying? I grew up saying assalamu alaikum, eating bean pies my entire life. Like, even in school, my class pictures, I'm wearing the bow tie, short hair, all of that, right? Because my dad was in the Nation, my uncle and all of his friends, but I was still raised in the church at the same time because my mom was a Christian. What they say is that your children have to be raised in the same religion as their mother. So my dad was like, okay, forget it. I'm just have them go to church. So at 16, I read the autobiography of Malcolm X and it just shifted. I was like, okay, no, I really want to take this serious. And so once I did it, it was like, man, everybody, like the whole family just went crazy. If a plane's going down, who are you going to pray to, Jesus or Muhammad? Okay, you're going to go to hell because it says this. And man, the church was even against me. But it just so happened that Mosque 27 in LA was literally like two blocks away from the church that I grew up in. So I would still go to church just to please my mom. But right after, I'm going to the mosque and hear Minister Tony Muhammad speak. And I will never forget the first time I heard him talk. It was just like a surreal moment. Like, wow, this black man is powerful. He's speaking with conviction. He's saying what's on his mind. He even said, damn. And I don't give a damn. And I was like, oh, wait, because I'm used to coming from such a judgmental society where it's, you can't curse, you can't say damn, you can't say this, you can't say that. Everybody's just scrutinizing each other. And I was like, I dare somebody to tell this man what he can't say. You know what I'm saying? He's not supposed to say this or say that. And it was like just being around a bunch of upstanding, alpha, strong black men was very alluring to me at that moment. Like you wouldn't get that from anywhere else besides going to one of the Nation of Islam mosques. And even if you don't join, I still feel like some black men should just experience that type of environment where we're kind to each other. We call each other brother. We are respectable to each other. You know what I'm saying? We don't look at down on each other. Whatever you got on, it doesn't matter. If you're there, you're a brother and you're going to be treated with respect. And that's one thing that resonated with me. But even though you still have the ignorant people out there, it's hard to stay strong with it, for sure.
Yes, sir. Yeah, definitely a journey, man. The greatest journey that we're going to fight that we're ever going to have is the fight with self, especially after we have the knowledge, because now you know the right thing to do. So that devil and angel that we see on the cartoons where you got the devil on one side and the angel on one side, that becomes even more stronger because now you're getting knowledge and you're being reminded of who you really are and how you're supposed to be. So that knowledge that we once lost because we've been made dumb, deaf, and blind. Mm-hmm. And it says in the Quran that Satan makes evil for a seeming. So we justify a lot of things that we do in error. But when you come back and you learn it, it's the wrong way. You're reminded. And really, the God within has already been telling us the wrong, hey, man, you're doing the wrong thing. But the more you come and it's in your face, we don't do this. You can't do this. Now that war, you're in the valley of decision to do the right thing or the wrong thing. And some people fall victim to it and some people don't. But the minister said the best of us will come by the word and the rest of us will come by the whooping.
We'll come by the whooping. Man, that's funny. That's funny. I remember that reminds me of, I just had a conversation with a friend of mine and I was like, man, growing up in a church, I don't feel like they really taught us about the real Jesus. It's like the Jesus that, it's also a brother that was grew up in the nation out here in LA. We just had a 2-hour long conversation. And I was like, the Jesus in the Bible that they portray to us is totally, no, the Jesus that they portray to us is totally different than the Jesus that was really in the Bible. And it's like Jesus actually said in there, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, when I think about that, I'm like, wow, he really came to destroy so things could be rebuilt. He talked as if he was a warrior with conviction, but the way everybody else makes it seem like, oh, Jesus was loving. He accepted everybody. And like, no, he didn't. He walked into temples and threw tables around, said that you are of your father, the devil. He was a liar and you are a liar as well. Oh, you went blank. Yeah, doing my own research, seeking the knowledge myself, reading Matthew, John, Luke, reading the Bible for myself and realizing the truth in it has really been eye-opening for me. And I got that from going to the mosque and hearing them talk from the Bible in the mosque with a lot of conviction. And I was just like, these people are reading from the same books that we read in church, but the perspective is just like totally different. And then I noticed that a lot of churches and spiritual places cherry pick what they want you to hear inside of the church. But we're also not encouraged to actually do our own due diligence and do our own reading. It's like more so listen to the pastor. He's going to be your source of knowledge. And that's it. And that's all. And that's the all. And that's the end all be all. And so that's one thing that I could always appreciate about Islam is that we always have to do the work and we have to humble ourselves when it comes to knowledge. Let's say the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is talking and he's giving a speech and he will say the wrong information. Next thing you know, somebody walks up to him, hands him a paper. Oh, my mistake. I said this is really this and this. And I'm like, how more humble can a person be? Because usually when you tell somebody that they're wrong or they made a mistake, they'll get defensive. They'll defend themselves. And that just showed me like the humility of the minister, and that we have to always have that humility when it comes to knowledge and getting information. Because if we act like we're the source, if we act like we already know it all, we're never going to grow.
That's a fact.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So that's just an interesting concept to me, man. How is it for you? Like, basically, when I think about when people think about Brother Ben X, it's okay, this dude is just a solid representative of the nation. But how do you actually see yourself? Is it like I'm a businessman or I'm a thought leader or I'm, you know, an online content creator, marketer? So I want to know, who is Brother Ben X from Brother Ben X?
That's a great question. I guess I could be all of those things, but I would say that I am just simply a God who has accepted his gift and using all of the gifts I have to the best of my ability. Growing up, people used to say, what don't you do? Because I played basketball, football, I done magic, I done just whatever I put my mind to, I become good at it. And I've always excelled with basketball, top 15 in the nation. I leave basketball, come to the nation, and I have been one of the top people to put the word out. So it's just, I don't have a box. I just feel like I've found my gift, and I believe my gift is putting out a message that impacts people in a creative way and makes it relatable. I'm also an entrepreneur, though. So As an entrepreneur, I help people package, present their gift to the world, impact more people, which leads to income by way of digital real estate. I would say I'm an inspiration because of the fact that I'm vulnerable. I show you that I dropped out of college. I show you when I have less than $3,000 in my bank account. I show you when I have to sell my cars to make ends meet. But I also have made millions of dollars as well. People have seen me literally grow from being going live on the side of the highway. Hey, man, I'm stuck on the side of the highway. They have seen my gray Grand Prix where I had to go put power steer fluid in it every day because it was a leak in it. But they also have seen me buy my favorite car, Vette. They also have seen me get a BMW. I've also sold them during hard times when business comes. So I'm just transparent and an inspiration and an example for many people that you can do it. That's really what I want to be. I just want to be an example, man, that you can overcome the difficulties of life. You don't have to fake it. You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. You don't have to fake that you're always up in business because you're not. I'm not. You don't have to fake that you're always up in relationships because you're not. I'm not. Just a striving student of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is how I would summarize it if I have, because we're taught to do for self. We're taught to strive to be examples. We're taught to discover and find your gift from the Bible. The Bible says your gift will make room for you. I would consider myself a world changer because all over the world, people are being impacted. All over the world, people are changing their lives, not because I'm thinking or they're saying it, but because they say it. I got hundreds of testimonials. So many testimonials, I can't even post them all and haven't been able to post them all. So just I always make sure people say, brother, Ben X. Before anything, I'm just your little brother. Even when people put on the flyer, Ben X, I make sure they put brother Ben X, because that's all I am. I'm a brother who's striving to build something. Whenever I do something in life, whether if it's trading, whether if it's business, whether if it's digital real estate, I always want to do it myself first. I don't want to just put y'all on. So if I'm putting you on something, best believe my money is invested. I'm into it. Everything don't always work. I was in it with you and I did it first before I brought it to the community. I think that's brotherly. I think that's, things don't always pan out to be right, but I think that's considerate. And if I was to be remembered for anything, it would be that brother is somebody who was a brother and really cared. And it's crazy because I got 21 biological brothers and sisters, but I grew up as the only child. So I was born while my mother was in prison, and pretty much my biological mother's cousin raised me, of course, who I call mom. But now in 2024, I'm known all over the world as Brother Ben X when I grew up as the only child. So I grew up as the only child thinking, man, I wish I had brothers and sisters. Man, I wish I had siblings to play with, which is actually where the me doing skits, talking to myself came from, because I knew I had all these brothers and sisters, but they didn't grow up with me. So I'm the only child. I'm in the room by myself, just thinking in my own mind. So this is why a lot of things creatively I post online, because I used to sit in the room and just think and talk to myself all day. So the camera became the place that I come alive. And many people, when they see me, they say, man, you don't talk that much, man. You different offline. I'm the same when I get to know you, but people think that I'm just always this extra and, man, animated. I'm really the quietest person in the room if you see me in person. I just found my comfortability being on camera because that's how I was able to express the creativity and things and thoughts that was in my mind. So I know that was a lot, but that's how I would describe myself. A world changer, an influencer, an entrepreneur, all of those things. But if I could wrap it into one, just a striving student helper of the Messiah in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Because even with digital real estate, it's not just a money class. Anybody who's been a part of my digital real estate class, you don't just learn about money. You learn about yourself, knowledge of self. We go into you spiritually. Our tribe is all about going into you spiritually, because there's a lot of things in your past that really stops you in real time with your business. But we just don't realize that. After you get your business together, you know what product you're going to sell. You got your ads going, or you got your marketing going. To maintain that, it takes spiritual development to maintain a team. It takes spiritual development to, when your business is low, you're not getting overwhelmed and you quit the business, all that takes spiritual development to be able to maintain that. So I incorporate the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan inside of digital real estate. So even when you join digital real estate, I'm still fishing. So that's why I say I'm ultimately just a striving student of the Messiah, and I miss.
Man, that's amazing, bro. That's how I am, man. Like, I'm a pretty popular guy, but I'm not like the most outgoing in the world. Like, I'm pretty much an introvert, but I still connect with people personally. I'm not like, hey, y'all, I'm here. Usually I'm quiet. I could definitely always be by myself.
Yeah.
You know, and I grew up with four siblings in the house, and I needed some alone time. It's constant mom, dad, and four siblings. So it was always something moving. So I cherish my alone time. I'm like, oh God, it's quiet. I have my thoughts. Everything's cool. But I remember meeting you during the Savior's Day. Oh, when was that? I think 2019 or so. But yeah, man, you were like cool, reserved, calm guy. You know what I'm saying? And I wasn't like, I don't even think you said anything. I was like, hey, man, can I get a picture? You probably, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, okay, brother, all right. And I was like, oh, damn, this dude totally different. But yeah, man, I definitely could understand that, man. Because honestly, the hardest question for me to answer is, what do you do? And tell me about yourself. And I'm just like, oh, sheesh, man, what should I tell this person? Usually now I just say, hey, man, I'm a creative entrepreneur. That's what I say. But I do a lot of different things. And a lot of people are like, man, what don't you do? But I'm more so whatever I put my mind to, I can master and I could do and I could teach people how to do it. But it also depends on like where you're allotting your time. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm sure if I ask you like, hey, man, did you watch a season of this? You're probably going to say no. But because it's like you're putting your time into something else that's going to build you up. So it's like where you allot your time really defines how you're going to be as a person and what you do, because you can get a lot done in 24 hours. So how do you feel when people consider you like an influencer online?
I really don't put much thought into it because technically I am an influencer online. I influence people to change their life. I influence people to join the Nation of Islam. I influence people to do for self. It's not the typical influencer that they may mean as far as YouTuber and just sharing their life and document stuff online. Although I do that, but it's the influencer in the sense of I influence you to change. I feel like they understand what they mean when they say it. I'll take that title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As long as I influence you to do the right thing.
Right. Because I was like, yeah, because that is true. Because when you hear influencer, you hear like just, like it's not really a powerful connotation that comes with it. But then I've learned even with myself is I'm influencing people to work out or to do different things in their life, like more fruitful things. And I'm just like, wow, I guess it's not that bad. You know what I mean? Because when you think of influencer, you think of honestly, a lot of people can be influencers. But it's just that when you think of it, it's like people are influencing you to do other things. So now, with that being said, I will accept that. You know what I mean? Because when you think about it, wow, influencer. Somebody said, oh, the minister, is he an influencer? Yeah, why not? Influencing you to do something, but it's to do good things in life. You know what I mean? So that's a great response.
Yeah.
Because I thought you would be like, man, I'm more than an influencer, man. I got all these people doing this. They fasting for Ramadan. And yeah, man, I definitely see countless amounts of people fasting. And I don't know about joining. I can never quantify. I don't know how anybody could quantify what was the purpose of anybody joining an organization. But I'm sure people reached out to you and was like, wow, due to the things that you've been putting online, I went to the local mosque and I've joined the Nation and I've changed my life. Because I remember seeing one of your videos a couple years ago of like brothers in the Nation dressed up. I think they were mobbing or about to do something. You had a, what's that song that you were playing in the background? I forgot. But it was like they were coming to stand up for somebody and they were in suits and they were looking serious, militant. And I was like, man, that's a hell of a commercial. Because it's say we always idolize like the Italian mobster movies and things like that. But it's to idolize black men standing up for themselves, being tough and not so much gangster, but alpha is something that like we have really lacked to see. You know what I'm saying? Because growing up, I don't really see any strong black figures like that. The best you'll probably get is a black man being a clown or being funny. No offense to Chris Tucker, he was doing this job, but he was like super popular in the 90s at the time. Everybody knew who he was. But then it was like, who's the one that's really in our face constantly that we want to emulate? Yeah. And I feel like that's the blessing of online and being able to choose how you entertain yourself. Are you 30 yet?
Nope.
You're not even 30?
Not yet.
Damn. You're like a part of a totally different generation than I am. Whoa. Ah, so you were like born like 96 or something? Wow, man. Yeah. So yeah, you're a part of a totally different generation than me. But your generation, y'all got the internet. We didn't really have all of this stuff going on now. So I feel like y'all are at like a different level of knowledge and wisdom than we had. We had to go to the library or somebody had to put it in our ear. Now it's, oh, you can just go to Brother Ben X page and listen to a whole bunch of stuff if you want to. You could consume yourself with this knowledge. That's a blessed thing to be able to do and to have that platform.
Yeah, it's definitely a blessing, man, to see how many you don't even. I never thought so many people would be impacted.
Yeah.
Because honestly, my formula, I would say maybe 60% of what I put out is for me. So they call me in the power call the clip god, because it's almost whatever we're talking about or dealing with, I have a clip in my head where I can refer to it, a minister talking about it. Whether if it's land, whether if it's relationships, marriage, economics, God, Jesus, like I got a clip that, because I've literally edited thousands of videos at this point of the minister. And honestly, that's how I learned the teachings. I didn't learn the teaching from read Message to the Black Man from front to cover. Like I said, I go and find what I need at the moment. But a lot of my understanding came from just editing so many videos, and I got to watch those lectures just to edit the videos. So I'm learning as I'm editing. And then when I'm listening to the minister and I discover something that I needed, I said, man, somebody else must have needed that as well. Whatever I'm going through, if I'm going through something, I just figure that somebody else going through it as well, or I may post it to save it. So if I go through that, okay, I can search this on my Facebook and the clip will pop right up. So that's how I can find clips and pop it up so fast. So when a current event comes up or something happens in the world, I know where to go find the clip that relates to this that can give us some guidance for what we're going through right now. And I never thought that so many people would be impacted by that. Like wherever I go, somebody knows me. I've had people at the airport, towns that where I'm just stopping to get gas on going to somewhere, little small town. Oh man, that's Brother Ben. What's going on? One brother, I don't know what city this, what town this was. I'm going to stop and maybe use the restroom. Brother knew me. He brought me from the back of the line up there to the front, pay for my stuff just because he just have been impacted by my stuff. So it's just amazing to see how many people have been impacted. I've had a big, strong brother at Savior's Day one time come up to me and just bawled out crying, just said, man, you saved my life, man. You done saved my life. And it's all I'm doing is sharing what's impacting me. You know what I mean? When I share the minister's lectures, I may give my perspective on it, but I'm not knowing that people all over the world would say, man, I like the way you break it down. In my mind, I'm just talking about my perspective on it. But I guess because of my generation and because of my perspective and just whatever, when I break it down or I give my understanding of it, it helps those who's even been in the nation longer than me. It's a blessing, man, to have a platform like that and to be able to impact people. And when Allah said he wastes not the reward of any worker, I'm starting to see it. That rich is not the money you have. Yes, we are promised luxury money, good home, friendship of all walks of life. And I got that as well. It's up sometime, it may be down sometime, but I found that recently you're rich because of the amount of people that you have invested in. See, we can invest in stocks, we can invest in crypto, and you can get a return on your investment. But it's nothing like investing in the people of God, because we believe Allah, God works through human beings. So whenever I'm down and out, the people is who help me out. I can't explain how many people have not even giving me money, but said, man, I got you on what you want to learn. I got you on being in this room. I got you on this just because I thank you for the work that you've already done. So that type of investment I've made, not just investing in crypto or stock, but when you invest in the people of God, man, God rewards you with, when you're traveling, people have let me stay at their homes. People have told me, you better not get no hotel. Come stay. All of that is money I don't have to spend.
You ain't never lied.
Food that I don't have to pay for because of the work that's put in. So I'm starting to see that you rich not because of the bank account, but because of the investment that you've made in the people. You can literally survive and thrive, and you ain't got to pay for nothing if you didn't have it. If I was to tell somebody, and I don't abuse that, I always try to make it happen any type of way. But if I'm literally in a bind, there are people that would say, I got you because of that work. And so to me, that's really rich, because income come and go. You got to learn about money management. Anything can happen with the bank. Like right now, I got one of my accounts of a program I was in. It's taking a long time to withdraw. So you never know what could happen. But because of the people, man, they always come through, man. So it's really been a blessing of love. And to be someone who grew up as the only child who felt abandoned, who felt like, man, why did my parents come and call about me? Why didn't they at least ask about me? Why didn't they come to get me at least once a year or something? And to feel like, man, I got 21 biological brothers and sisters and I've only met 6 of them. And to feel like I don't, like, man, it's so deep, bro. I don't know the name of my grandparents. My biological grandparents, I have no idea what they look like. I don't know what their name is. I don't know what diseases run in the family. I don't know what, if somebody was to say, what's some of your family history so we can know what's going on with you? I don't know. I have no idea. So to grow up feeling that way and to now be known all over the world as Brother Ben X, and they look at me as family, man, that's crazy, man. That's a tremendous story.
Yeah, you actually manifested that. And it's crazy because like riches go far beyond money. And I feel the same way. I'm like, man, if I go out of town, I could stay at somebody's house like Chicago, Vegas, New York. They just, man, you could come stay with me. And I think about it. Then you go online, you look at how much hotels are. You'd be like, shh, man, I'm saving a lot of money. But that's based on the relationships and how people view you. Like for somebody to welcome you inside of their home is major. Because I know for me, I'm not welcoming just anybody in my house.
Right.
That's not happening. I really have to rock with you. Like, I have to think about you like a real brother. Because that's a lot of trust. People steal out your house and bringing bad energy, all of that. Yeah, that's a very commendable thing, man. I think about that all the time. It's, man, the relationships that we build really is a testament of how far we can go. Because you could work somewhere for 10 years and fall off and you wouldn't even know where to start. But if you built relationships and had money, you know what I'm saying, going on for 10 years, you'll probably be rich forever.
Yeah.
And that's a true testament of that. And I hate to bring this up, but I did listen to one of your lives about the whole Black World Order situation that happened in 2020 or 2021. I do understand that some people have good intentions when it comes to helping our people. And then some people have the intentions of, okay, I know these people are disadvantaged and they don't know much. So I'm going to use the knowledge that I have and take advantage of them. And so I know that those two people are separated. And a brother like you that has good intentions, that you have the good intention, but some people are looking at it more so of an opportunistic type of thing. Yeah. And we get in the mix of those people now, and your reputation is on the line just because you've dealt with these people. And I feel like with you, you're more so, man, even though this did happen, I have to play my part and be accountable for my part in this, not to say tragic thing, but this thing that happened. And you actually talked to people. You said that you gave refunds and things of that nature. And so from that, moving forward, how would you go about dealing with Black people that want to get together and start something like that again? Because I don't want it to be like, I would love to do something like that. Like all of us with good intentions get together and we all are resourceful and do right by our people, because other cultures, other nationalities do that. They work amongst each other. I went to a 12-hour long seminar. And those people are talking about partnerships. You need partnerships if you want to get ahead. And I partnered with this person, that person, and that person. They didn't look like us. But then I think that when we think about partnerships, we have bad taste in our mouths based off of some partnerships that went wrong. And even though they went wrong, does not mean that they cannot go right. So, how do you feel like moving forward when it comes to us getting together as a people to like start something like a BWO again?
I think the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, message to the black man, get with 6 to 8 like-minded individuals. And 4 years ago, like-minded to me means you want to help black people. If you want to help black people, I want to help black people. Let's come together. And what I've found and discovered over the years is that it has to be deeper than you just want to help black people. We have to be like-minded in morals. We have to be like-minded in values. We have to be like-minded in integrity. And integrity is one of the biggest ones. And the questions have to be deeper than, what do you do? I do this. What do you do? I do marketing. Let's come together and do that. Because it's like courting. When you get with a woman, if you're only asking surface level questions, then your relationship is going to be surface level. And if you only got together because of her beauty, and she got with you because of your beauty, when things happen in a relationship, it's easy to break because it's not in depth. It's not strong enough. The foundation is not strong. So the same way we would court someone who we're about to marry, because businesses, y'all are married. This is a contract. We're signing. And especially with that type of movement, when we've had, it's almost like we saying till death do us part. You know, with one of the partners, we was talking about being like life. You know, I'm Eddie Murphy, I'm Martin, and you Eddie. We're gonna be doing this for a lifetime. But when things happen, you find out who they really are. And what I've learned is that we're taught in a nation, you ask, hey man, what happened with your past relationship? Let me talk to your parents. Let me talk to them, because you really want to know who you're getting in bed with, who you're about to get in a relationship with. So I would have done a few things different. I would have asked, what happened with your last partnership? I heard it. Oh, this person did this. Let me go deeper. Let me ask more questions, because I can admit, man, I've been very naive in the past. And naive for this reason. When I tell you I'm gonna do something and this is my lane, I'm gonna do it. You ain't gotta worry about me not doing it, because this is what I'm born for. You ain't got to worry about Brother Ben posting no content. You don't have to worry about Brother Ben when he say he going to teach that class, he going to teach the class. So when I say, hey, the finances, the running of the business, this, that ain't my lane. You would, at that time, you never had to worry about me asking you, hey man, what's up with this money in the account? Why this transferred here? Bro, you are free. I'm not that type of partner. But I think that became a hindrance. I think that became a problem, that I was so hands off, that I was so, my mindset at that time was, hey man, that's your lane. I ain't gonna ask about your lane. I ain't worried about that lane. You got it. And when you're dealing with an amount of money that we've never seen before, making money in a month that people have never made in their life, you have to consider that the minister teaches us, you don't know who you are until you've been tried. So yeah, managing 6 figures. Okay, yeah, we all done made 6 figures, but when you're talking about 7 figures in a month, 7 figures in a week, 7 figures in a day, that person ain't never handled that. That person ain't never been tempted with that. And so in order to make it happen, you have to have real meetings, checks, and balances. The minister says, after motion becomes order. First is motion, but then you got to put that motion in order. And if you don't put the motion in order, it's chaos. So the way that God is able to operate is because everything operates on the system. Our body operates on the system. My elbow is not the knee, but all of these have a part to play. And there's a center, which is the brain, that keeps all of these things in place, which is a system. And so if we don't have a system that supports, see, you may have a system for a five-figure business. You may have a system for a six-figure business, but you may not have a system yet for a seven-figure business. And if you don't have a real system in place for a seven-figure business, and everybody is able to have checks and balances, before we spend this amount of money, this needs to be signed off. What is this for? Because if we don't have a system like that, now in your mind, okay, they ain't tripping. Let me spend it on this. Shoot, I'm going to spend it on this. You won't know if I spend it on this because you're not looking at it anyway. See, now the devil can creep in and can, you may have good intentions in the beginning, but then something happens along the way where you, let me try this. Well, man, nobody caught me then. Let me try that. Well, nobody said nothing. Let me try this. I'll make it back. See, all of these are thoughts that may go on with somebody say, but if everybody has a system in place that checks the devil within, because we know, hey man, I've never dealt with this before. So let me put something in play. And let me give you an example. Brother Malik Muhammad, our study group coordinator, man, one of the coldest analogies I've heard when it comes to the law. He says, when you go to Six Flags, there's a law that you got to put that bar down. You never see a man on the Six Flags roller coaster say, man, get this bar off me, man. I want to be free. I'm free spirited. No, you make sure that bar is down, man. Hey, yeah. Why? Because you're finna go up, down, sideways. It's going to be a bumpy road. So it is the law, that bar, that keeps you in place.
Right.
So when you get into business or something like that, these laws and these systems and this protocol that we put in place isn't to stop us, it's to protect us for what may happen.
Yeah.
It may not have happened yet, but what may happen, the love for each other, man, I've learned so much. I can't even get it all out. The love for each other has to be so deep to the, bro, I've dealt with me thinking that I'm adding value to somebody, only to find out years later, they didn't value it as much as I thought that they did.
Mm-hmm.
The situation that you're talking about, one of the guys from that organization has, as recent as last year, got somebody that I introduced him to not do business with me and told him to pick a side. Not because I did something wrong. He's upset because they owe me something and it's documented. Whatever the ego is, don't want to, whatever. So listen, and you follow me on Instagram, you ain't heard me say nothing negative about nobody. It's some stuff I still ain't said. Even on my BWO part one, it's my turn. I didn't come out and say this person is this and this nigga a fraud and he's, I just gave the documentation. This is where we at. This is what I gave everybody, they flowers, credit where it's due. I didn't try to take no credit for everything. It wasn't even no exposed thing. But the guilty conscience will make you be upset about a person that you did wrong. But this person here, from what I found out years later, man, you ain't never did nothing for me. When you was down, I bought you some shoes. Okay, yeah, you took me to Ross and you bought me some shoes. Okay, yeah, you took me out to eat. I was down and out. You never showed that you always acted like you got money, you good. So I never was in a position to see you needing anything. But when it came to your brand that I knew you wanted to build, you wasn't getting the amount of views that you was getting before I came. Before I started sharing it on my page, you didn't have this amount of comments. You wasn't making this money on this Facebook page. So in my mind, bro, I done added a lot of value to you. Yeah, you done took me to get some shoes, but do you know how much I could charge to post on my page? And you know how much I could post, because we'd have made over six figures when you was doing this every week on your podcast and it wasn't monetized at all. So man, you don't see that as value? He didn't see that as value. He said, well, him, he called me. He came to a birthday party. Well, we don't celebrate birthday. I don't go out. I'm the only child, man. I don't do nothing out like that. But again, in my mind, I'm thinking, bro, I done added value. I done put you on this. You didn't know about this, bro. Do you know this man told me was something that I put him on that was making him thousands of dollars during the pandemic? He told me, it's on video, save my life. See, at that time, oh, I love you. I love you to death. He loved me to death because of what I was doing with what I figured was value. But now years later, that wasn't nothing. But then you say you love me because of that? He told me, I would have found out about it anyway. All you did was tell me about one of these websites. One of the, I would have found out about it anyway. What? But if you didn't find out about it at that time, you wouldn't have been able to survive and get through, based on your words, during the pandemic. So having to learn that, whoa, bro, you can be adding value to somebody, and behind your back, they've been calling you selfish.
Yep.
Behind your back, they've been saying, oh, that nigga think he ain't try to put nobody on. Hold on, man. Before I came, the podcast wasn't monetized. Before I came, y'all was doing the podcast from your cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
When I came, I brought my camera. I had to go back home when everybody was done with the podcast and they can go back and just go live their life. I had to go back and upload it, edit it. See what I'm saying? I brought my stuff to it. I didn't ask for no payment. Y'all, you don't see that as valuable? Mm-hmm. So I learned, bro, that you have to go beyond the surface, have real conversations. Bro, if there's something I'm not doing, tell me. Don't have no covert expectations of what I'm supposed to be doing. We could have nipped this in the bud 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You wait until now to finally say something? All this time I'm thinking you my brother. Oh, I'm your little brother and we good? I know that was a lot, man, but it's much more as things come on. I wrote a book about it. It's in Before You Do Business. But I've just learned so much about us as a people, man. I've been in situations where a brother was keeping some information from me in the business, which made me kind of fall back. This is another bit. It made me fall back because I'm like, why are you not telling me about these decisions? My brand is on the line. Everybody know me about, for this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't run this, but I'm the known face. So if anything go wrong, they're not going to say, did he do it? They're going to say, he the one who posted about it. They don't care. They just want to see me fall. So what I found is, man, he had been in a situation where he had been manipulated by women. Agents had came through and was trying to take him down through women. I had women that was helping me out business-wise that was trying to guide us and protect us. But in his mind, he's thinking they're coming through Brother Ben. Not that Brother Ben did something wrong, but I don't trust them who was helping him. So let me keep the information away from him so that he, you see what I'm saying? But I don't know. If you don't tell me you've been through that, I don't understand. So now in my mind, I'm mad at you and I'm thinking you trying to keep stuff from me. Man, you look, man, why are you trying to be sneaky? When all he had to do was explain, give me the context and give me the details. Now I can understand why you moving like that. So if I could summarize it, it's really understanding who you partnering with, not partnering with somebody just because we want to build a movement or you got a skill set I don't have. You got to really know this person, because when the inevitable happens, which is problems, disagreements, y'all have to be on the same page on how we gonna handle this. And if we only talked about how much money we could make and the business structure and the great things, but we never talk about the bad things, when the bad things happen, you will find out that the person who you thought was your brother was only your brother when you could do what you could do for him in business. So that would be what I would say.
Man, that was actually excellent, because personally, I went through that so many times, and I've seen so many businesses where we try to partner up with each other go bad. But I'm the type of person, I went to school, business, I'm a businessman, I know everything, I have my project management, professional license, all of that, right? So if somebody's, hey, I want to start this business, I'm like, okay, I'll go in and help you manage it or whatever, and I'll talk to them about it. Them and their partner, we all come together. Next, those two people do business and I get cut out, because to them, my role is worthless as a businessman, as somebody that's done taxes for years and done all kinds of things, financial. I know everything about finance. I have my real estate license, mortgage license, insurance license, like all of them. Like, okay, we're going to work together. We're going to structure like this, like that. And my role is what they will deem expendable. So he's not doing anything to generate money, but management and professionalism still has to be in place. It's not just about generating the money. It's about keeping the money flowing and managing it so it won't go belly up. And next thing you know, I'll come in and then and the business just go belly up. I'm like, did you have any contracts in place? Did you have any non-circumvention agreements? Did you guys have anything in place that would protect you all? No, that's why it went that way. Because you have to have contracts. Like in the Quran, it states that you cannot even do business without a contract. Yep. And I tell people, you can't even work at McDonald's without signing a contract. And here y'all are trying to do big. You are doing big business without any contracts in place. You are supposed to look at the account and be able to audit the account on your own if something goes wrong or if something does go belly up. And I work for large corporations, man. Like, they don't have a penny that's not accounted for. And they have me scrub it, somebody else scrub it, somebody else scrub it, just to make sure that the money is going to the right places. I really feel like I could have done a lot of great things with people if they just understood how business is supposed to work and how we are supposed to do professional business in America. Like, we are not hustling. We're trying to build organizations, corporations. You can't treat that like a hustle. You know what I'm saying? And you can't be greedy. You have to be vulnerable. You have to know that everybody plays a part. But you are right. I say, if I did a collaboration with somebody and I'm like, hey, look, I'll even let you log into the back end of my website just so you can see the transactions, just so you can know I'm not cheating you. And I actually put that in the contract. I was like, you have the capability to audit the finances whenever you want. Anything that's coming in, just to make sure that everything is solid. Why would I do that? You know what I'm saying? Because I want them to be able to trust me. I want them to say, hey, this guy is doing the right business and it's only fair. You know what I mean? But a lot of people are against school. A lot of people are against education. A lot of people are against a lot of things that we need in order to be successful in business. Like, it's not just starting an LLC and, okay, cool, I'm gonna put out some ads and I'm gonna get this money. It's way more than that. You know, and I've
And I'm learning that, man, as a marketer, that's what I'm used to being, just a marketer. And that's what I would really like to be. And so now I've been put in a position since leaving that company. And actually, I'm looking for somebody who can partner with me and run it. But since leaving that, I've had to learn those things, the finances and the LLC and how to do stuff behind the scenes. I just want to create content and impact people, man. And that's why I loved the partnership at the time, because I didn't have to worry about that. Or did I have to worry about that? That was a perfect, I assume, a perfect situation for me, because I can just do me, bring the money in, and somebody did handle that. But being in a position where I'm having to learn all this management and project, man, I now understand why it's all important. I used to be the type of person that didn't know why you had to meet so much. When I first started, I was like, why do people meet? Monday through Friday, that made no sense. What y'all meeting about? Can't y'all just talk about it one day? But now I'm getting it. You got to know what the progress is, the project management, what this person need, where this needs to go. So it's, man, this is so much. And it takes away from my marketing, because I'm having to do stuff behind the scenes now. It's definitely a lot, knowing your contracts. I have to learn what unvested mean, all that, man. Thinking that you got equity, but then if you leave in a certain amount of time, you lose it because it was in the vesting period. But it's like, what about if you're the one that kind of pushed me out because of something you did wrong? I still, so it's, and then if you try to go to court for it, to fight us, is it worth it? You know what I mean? Because you got to pay all these fees, and they know that. So they're pushing for you to go to court, because they're going to try to stall it out. And then you pretty much, if you do win, which you probably could win because you got evidence, how much money you really going to get in profit based on what you done already paid your lawyer? So it's like all these games that I'm learning in business, it makes you fearful, honestly. And I think I needed that. I'm going to be honest. I think I needed that, because when I first came in, I was a person that was just, let's unite. Let's just unite. Yeah, if you with the people, come on. I got the platform. You got something good, come on. And I think that people used to tell me, man, people jealous, people envious, be careful. But in my mind, I was getting so much love, and I was so optimistic about black people. In my mind, man, ain't nobody hating on me. Man, ain't nobody, wouldn't nobody do that, man. But I needed to get that sting so I can become more wise and say, no, yeah, but vet it though. Yeah, but look into that though. Yeah. Contract, because I'm the type of person we can handshake on it. Because, and again, it's because if I say I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna do my part. And so I'm expecting, of course, you're gonna do your part. But I've learned, man, contracts, having witnesses there. I've seen people manipulate stories that happen. I've literally heard people, stories have gotten back to me, and that's half the story. It's, yeah, man, I don't even want to go there, man. It's crazy, because people will literally tell half the story to make themselves look a certain type of way. And what they say is like mixing truth and falsehood. Or no, not telling the whole truth, so it end up being a lie. You told half the story, so yeah, it does look that way if you only share this. But what about if you share that part? They'll see, oh, dang, yeah, that's messed up. So I've seen that happen. So having witnesses, and I'm the type of person, even with that situation towards the end, I said, man, stop all this one-off conversations. Let's get on a Zoom and record it.
Yeah.
Because it needs to be at this point some type of documentation, because you will say something and then this person say you didn't say it, then they can say that they didn't say it. So that's another thing I learned is, man, we need to have recorded Zoom calls. And when you are in a partnership, the type of partnership we was in, now I may be wrong in this, but the one-off conversations, you thinking that you bigger, so y'all got y'all separate group chat. Then you got this other group chat where y'all only talk. No, if we transparent and we all found us, everybody said in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Let's hop on a Zoom call with everybody. Let's record it with everybody so it ain't no he say, she say situation.
Yeah. And that's actually called meeting minutes. You know what I'm saying? That's what corporations are supposed to do. Say, when I work for a large corporation, I had to take notes. And we have one chat, whereas even if you were talking to one person, you would still put it in that chat.
Yeah.
Just so you know that you doing this, so everybody knows that you doing your part and you hold the other person accountable. You know what I'm saying? And man, trust me, I went through that. Honestly, this just happened like on Sunday, where someone told somebody a story and they was like, yeah, man, Sherm, I heard about you. Like me, like my name and my reputation is like my life. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, who told you this? And what, how'd you hear? Then I heard the story, and then it was just like, man, you should have never told that story. Now I got to tell the whole truth because you put it out there.
Exactly.
Now I'm putting your business out there. You know what I'm saying? Whereas this person shouldn't even know any of this. Now you're looking worse than me because I'm giving the full truth.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And I had a rant. Is, man. That's a hard place to be in because you don't want to be messy. I'm not trying to, you know, Cat Williams, nobody, where I'm just going out there, but it's like, bro, how I built this brand is through being trustworthy. How I built this brand is through having integrity. So if it gets back to me, oh, this happened and it's making you look a certain, well, now I got to come on with it now and throw you under the bus because you gave half the story. Trying to be messy, but at the same time, I can't just let my name be destroyed when I didn't do nothing. So that's a tough position to be in because you would rather things just be taken care of behind, just respond behind, just let's take care of behind the scene. Okay, but you want to do this in the public. Okay, now I gotta.
That's one thing that we're taught. My uncle, FOI, never be the aggressor.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm never the aggressor. But if it comes to me, then it's okay, it's go time now. All right. Mm-hmm. Oh, you put it out there? All right. Now I gotta let people know this stuff about you. Now they're looking like, oh no, I can't even mess with that person. And I actually had a rant that I put on Instagram in my story because it's, I don't know who these people are talking to. So I just put it all out there. Look, man, if anybody has something to say about me, I would just, if I were y'all, I would just stop. Because you don't want me to tell the truth. Because you're going to tell the side that makes you look favorable. But for me, I don't mind taking the L. If I did something wrong and I know it, I will be fully accountable and I'll take the L to the chin and just keep going. You know what I'm saying? I have no problem with that. But I'm not the type to put things on blast or talk to people about anything that like has nothing to do with me that'll make somebody else look bad. But once you put it out there yourself, it's like open season for everybody to talk about it now.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I didn't understand. But honestly, man, like the year 2023 was a year of discernment because like you, I was the type of person like, man, everybody, we could all win. We could get together and we could do this and we could do that. And then I had to stop and I thought about it. I was like, man, in order for me to get a job, they want to run my credit. They want all these verifications. They want references. They want me to pee inside of a cup. I had to talk to two or three different people. I have to go through all of this just so I could join these people's organization. Now, what am I doing?
Right.
For people to join my organization besides, oh man, you do this? All right, cool. Yeah, man, come on, let's work together. These people got you signing your life. You don't even know what the hell any of that stuff means or says. You just like, where do I sign here? Okay. Where do I sign here? Okay, cool. Y'all ready to pay me? After I do the work, like we have no, most of the people don't even know what they're signing. You know what I mean? And it's just, man, we have to look at ourselves the same exact way when it comes to our corporations. You know what I'm saying? Like we have to put these things in place and that's what I've been working on, man. Cause it's also told somebody, I'm like, man, at the end of the day, I would love to work with my people, but then I'm more so I'm working with whoever got the talent that could help me. help me grow. It don't really matter at the end of the day, because it's, you know what my mission is. I'm here, and if you want to join the mission to help me grow, then all right, cool. Come on, let's go. You know what I mean? I could be a friend of other nations that want to push the nation of me. You know what I'm saying? If you want to do some work, if you want to do this, if you could connect me here and I'll pay you and you'll get it done, all right, cool. You know what I'm saying? That's one thing that Brother Umar went through when it came to building his school. He said the black contractors were not doing the job. They were scamming them and all these different things. Then he said in order for him to get the job done, he had to take a chance and he hired some white contractors and it ended up working. You know what I mean? But like you say, you could be naive and too nice and think that just because you're a loving and stand-up person that other people are, and that is not the case. I've learned that the worst type of devil is a black devil. You know what I'm saying? Like those will be the worst. And I can't assume that just because I have a loving and kind nature that everybody else does too. Because the amount of money that I've lost in 2020, 20, no, 2021 will make anybody scream. That happened because I trusted my own people. You know what I'm saying? Whereas, man, like I can't believe they would do this to me. But then it was like, you got the signs. You just didn't pay attention to them. Your eyes got bigger than what was really going on. So now, in order for this never to happen again, you have to move this way. Or else you got to remember that sting that happened. So when you go up higher in life, the sting of losing millions won't happen to you. You know what I'm saying? Because you've been protected when it came to the money in the past that you think is a lot. Imagine now when you like up working with 10 million, 15 million, you have these systems in place that you learned. You know what I'm saying? And that doesn't mean that we can't do it again or we can't circle back or whatever. But then it's like the people that you hire, you better make sure they're certified. You know what I'm saying? It can't be like, oh yeah, man. Like for me, I'm like, if I needed a marketer and I needed to hire somebody for marketing, and Brother Ben X had a program, I'll pay you off top. Oh, Brother Ben X, oh yeah, man, he been doing it for years. You see how the transaction he got going on? I've been accustomed to it. Why would I not? But there are people that say we could do this marketing for it. And I'm looking at their numbers. I'm like, how you gonna market me if you haven't even mastered this yourself? What certifications do you have? You can't tell me that you'll help me do all of these things if you haven't helped yourself. So it's like now is I'm like looking at things in a totally different way. Man, this brother wanna charge me $10,000 for a coaching program, but I'm looking at your stuff. I don't want my stuff to look like that. You barely got comments under your post. Are you really doing what you're selling me for $10,000? Nah. But if it was like, okay, brother, okay, I could see why he'll charge that much. Come on. You know what I'm saying? So it's like the level of discernment I have is like so high, and I don't let any of that fluff get into me just like you. And I might have to just read your book because, no, seriously, though, because it's like I might pick up on something from it that could change how I do business now. It's just tough, man, for somebody like of your caliber that is responsible for a lot of people becoming righteous and living their life right to have something like that over your head that could possibly damage your whole reputation that you've been building for years. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't even fathom that type of pressure.
And really, it's the way you the minister said is not the person biting you, it's how you handle the teeth of the biter. And he says that whenever Allah wants to polish you, he'll put sandpaper around you. And I think the way that I handled it could have been a big blow. But because of the way I handled because I was so in the trenches, like I was reachable. That was a time where I was the only founder that could be reached at that time. But they wasn't trying to reach out about digital real estate. Obviously, they was trying to reach out about something else. But the fact that I made myself available, that they loved that. The fact that I was in the Discord with them late at night, I was learning from them as a teacher, but learning from the minister, humility. You can learn from anybody. So the fact that I was like one of them, and then I was able to come out of my own pocket. See, when I say I came out of my own pocket, I say over $10,000 out of my own pocket, but it was really more than that. The company that I was owner of paid millions in chargebacks, but only received 20%. So let's think about this. The company that I'm a founder, not founder, owner of, gets only 20% of the revenue. pays the 20% back in chargebacks and is the merchant account, so has to continue to pay the millions on top of that. Now, why do I say I pay more than 10? Bro, spent $15,000, I think, putting together this book, Coon Fire Coon. This book right here. When people bought this book, where do you think the sales was going? Because it was the merchant account to those chargebacks. Company done split up by now. But everything that I was producing, the new digital real estate course, products, digital products, those sales from my me growing my following, selling to my following, when those new sales came in, they was being ate up by the chargebacks. So I say I gave over $10,000. I was helping people out with their rent because I was not only just paying people rent that reached out to me. Now, let me say this. Nobody should have paid 100% of their income for anything dealing with trading anyway, because it was stated several times, don't put up all of it, 5%. So the risk management part was said. So I have to say that part and be fair that it was stated. Anybody blew their money in anything with trading and they just was, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't have put your money up for that anyway, because you didn't have the money to do it. Right. But even still, when they reached out, I was helping people out with their rent. There was a brother that was boots on the ground, just knew a lot of people in the Discord. I sent him $10,000. And I just made sure I document that. I didn't know it was going to get to today where people taking the story and they don't know really what happened and they miss. But just me knowing, like, bro, I have nothing to hide when it comes to that situation. Like, I didn't do anything wrong, per se, in that situation. I was transparent. And now people, the students, now anybody on the outside have no idea what happened. They could just only assume, yeah, it all was a scam. You have no idea. What was the scam? It was just courses. Literally what it was, everybody course coming together. That's literally what it was. So my course, everybody got it. Matter of fact, when I added on to my course, as I often did, nobody had to pay any additional fees. I always over-delivered and gave it for free. So when people say, oh yeah, it all was a scam, like courses was a scam, it was four courses brought together for the price of one. In fact, it was a discount. Everybody in that community who was already buying from us individually paid more before we came together because we put everything together for the price of one. So they actually saved a lot of money. And people made a lot of money. I got those receipts as well. Not no demo money, real money. So to see it, man, it's frustrating sometimes when you see a video or you see somebody say something because the sacrifice you made, the time that you put in, the money that you lost having to deal with something that wasn't even your fault. And you want to argue with people and you want to, well, I'm finna make a video on you. But it's a waste of time because you find out, bro, people don't even really care. They don't care if you didn't do nothing wrong or not. They just want to get under your skin. They waiting on you to do something wrong when you're in a position like this. So even if you prove them wrong, they'll still find something and say so. So at that point, so I just appreciate those who was in it, though, who do bear witness, because several students do bear witness for me. Now, my brother Ben, he was reachable. He did everything he said. So you do have those, and I appreciate those. But it's difficult when you have built your brand on being trustworthy, having integrity, and it could get a stain because of something that you didn't do. And even if you went above and beyond, it goes unnoticed, like you didn't even do it. So you got to prove yourself. And then you got people that say, just move on. Well, it's easy for you to say, just move on, because you don't have millions of people that you've impacted. You don't have a mission that's big in it, and it depends on your integrity. It depends on being trustworthy. So it's easy for you to say, just move on. So I've had to deal with that, living in the past, kind of, because it was tragic. Man, that movement had no reason to fall. Money was coming in. Many students was making money. Many students was getting paid. Many students' lives were being changed. So it was no reason for it to, but ego, lack of maturity, lack of communication, lack of transparency is all the reasons why it fell apart. So I would do the opposite of some of the things I just said. Be more transparent. I'm with you. Hey, man, here go the password. Log in. Look at it for yourself. Because if I have nothing to hide, why am I hiding it? There's no reason for me to do that. Yeah. It's tragic, man. Sometimes when I think about it, I just get sad again, because It was like the tip of the iceberg, man. It was like you at the top where nobody's worried about nothing. Bro, do you know we was paying maybe $200,000-$300,000 a month in payroll?
Damn.
In payroll. Do you know we had a conversation with the media team and people on in the company and said, "How much do you want to get paid?"
Oh, wait, that
I
could have
want to
got
get
me.
$6,000 a month. I want $7,000 a month. Well, I need eight to just get be all in. We said, okay, we want you full time. Where does that happen at? Where does that happen at? But people will say, oh, it was this and it was this. Bro, we asked these folks, what will it cost you to be full time? We don't want you doing no videos for nobody. We want you all in. How much you need? Six, seven, eight, nine, five. The whole company, we had a meeting one by one to ask them, how much do you want to make? And we gave it to them.
How
To
long
over
did this last?
$200,000 a month.
How long did this last?
Man, almost about 8 months, almost a year. That's
Man.
how much money, that's how much money was going out, man.
Mm-hmm.
So this movement, we traveling, we it's unity, we all got the brand. It was beautiful, man. So to see that destroy it like that, bro, it's really traumatizing. And when people say just move on, I'm not stuck in the past because of the money that was made per se. Yeah, the money was great, but people was, man, it's still people today that got relationships and partnerships because of that movement. It's people today that learn trading or learn digital real estate or in doing things because of what we sparked in them. So that's what I'm stuck with, the amount of people that was being helped, the lives that was being changed. That was, man, that was something some people ain't never seen before, because we brought all different aspects of experts together in the black community at that time and said, you know what? We're gonna unify. We're not finna be competing on who's selling the most courses. We're gonna bring it together and say, look, you can come get it all for one. That
That
was.
honestly is a that the honestly is a genius idea that I would like revisit it because it just makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like it can happen again, but some checks and balances need to happen. It's like the companies go bankrupt and then they just start again, but they start all over and do it over again. But it is traumatizing, and I actually talked to one of my little brothers. I'm like big bro to everybody, and he was just talking about like how he went into business with his friends and like messed him up and he was gonna do some stuff. And I'm just like, man, that happens. Next time you just have to have more checks and balances. You have to do things in a professional kind of way to prevent that. And we also have to know that we are people that are just now starting businesses in a country that's been doing business for centuries without us even knowing how. So we have to give ourselves grace. Like a lot of us, our parents never owned a business, but there's people that is in America whose parents own multi-million-dollar business, whose grandfathers own multi-million-dollar businesses. We're just starting, and we have to give ourselves a little grace. And the people that are running these businesses, they messed up. They went bankrupt. They failed a couple times. That doesn't mean the idea cannot be revisited, especially if you were generating that type of revenue and that type of income. Come on, man. It's every okay, now I'm gonna start it, but I'm gonna do it with these types of people because you have the most powerful aspect of running a business, which is marketing. So without you, nothing could probably move in any kind of business. Businesses spend 10 to 20% of their revenue on marketing alone. So if you're saving that, man, come on. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing, but that is a beautiful thing. But now you might have to say, call it something else and just join other types of experts and things like that. Now I'm more so, I have to. Because I feel like now the internet and the world is just more global. And we have to learn how to not only do business with ourselves, but with other people. And that's what my podcast is just about. I'm a young black man, grew up in a black Muslim slash Christian household. I go to Savior's Day. I'm known in the mosque in LA, all of that. But I still want people to see me having a conversation with a white man about business. Or about trauma, or about all of these different things. And that's what I want to do for us is we could be in these different realms and still be authentic black people. Like it can't get no more black than me. Like I got locks, I got a beard, and I got a deep voice. I'm black from a mile away. I want us to be able to see us being diplomatic with other cultures, nations, and things like that. You know what I mean? Just before this interview, I interviewed a state senator named Marty Flynn, who's a senator in Pennsylvania. I'm like, damn, how am I? I woke up in the middle of the night, like, man, I'm interviewing a state senator and then Brother Ben X after that. What the hell? You know what I'm saying? It's two totally different worlds. But I had to like mentally prepare and get myself ready. It's okay, I'm gonna do this, but I just want us to see, I want people to see us more than just a particular social class. Like, I could partner with the guy in Korea, or I could travel to Dakota and do business with white farmers or things like that, which is what other nations are doing anyway. But I'm not gonna say that might be not be that might be for everybody, but I definitely want people to see us doing business with other people and also collecting money from other people, because they for sure are collecting money from us.
That's a
You know,
fact.
say, who's an online marketer? What's that? Damn, I forgot that guy's name. He's like a Hispanic guy. I think his name starts with a T, but he's like an online marketer. And he, I'm like, I'm
Ty
sure.
Lopez.
Yeah. What name you say?
Ty Lopez.
Yeah, Ty Lopez. Ty Lopez is not for the Hispanic community. Ty Lopez is collecting everybody's money. Who in the black community is a marketer collecting everybody's money? We can't even name one. Why can't we do that? We're the fathers of civilization, the first people on this earth. Why can't we collect everybody's money? If it's Tony Robbins saying, I'm just for the white. No, he's collecting everybody's money. And then I thought about that. I was like, I cannot pigeonhole myself, because I could be liked and respected for my talents by the world. Like, the world needs Brother Ben X. The world needs me. Not to say that I'm trying to change anybody's method or anything like that, but it's like a lot of us pigeonhole and limit our talents to just, okay, this class, when it's like other people are being for everybody. They're like, man, I'm the man. And I'm thinking about, man, I'm God in human flesh. Why can't I be for the world and for everybody like how other people are? You know what I'm saying? We're looking at other people like on a pedestal, and it's, man, we could be that way too. And some of us are. Like, I saw Magic Johnson speak this past Saturday, and after he spoke, everybody left. But people wanted to see Magic. Like, he bought teams. He's the owner of teams. It just makes sense. And I'm just like, he did talk about the black community. And we know that Magic Johnson is for the black community. Nobody could doubt that. He put a theater in Los Angeles when people said no. He put businesses in black communities when people were scared to do it. But at the same time, he's still a well-rounded businessman. He owned a portion of the Lakers, of the Dodgers, and he does really big business. And I'm like, wow, that's a great representative of us as like a businessman. Because it's, yeah, I'm for mine. And he did speak directly to some of us black people, but at the end of the day, he's still a representative of us, you know, for everybody. And I really resonated with that and appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I don't know, man. That's my new wave. Because I've been like black, you know, now I'm like, man, maybe I need to. Because that's like, maybe I'm limiting myself, especially after doing some interviews with different white men, and they really resonated with me. And I'm just like, wow, that's interesting. But then it's like, why would they not resonate with the truth? Why would they not resonate with what's real? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The Catholic dude in Chicago, is it Fleischer?
Father Flager.
Flager? Yeah, Father Flager. He's right there. Why? Because he recognizes the truth. But then if you think about it, you'd be like, man, what is he doing there? Honestly, he's very bold for even being around, if you ask me. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, how does he do it? But then this man, truth is universal. The world needs truth. That's just what it is for me, man. But yeah, definitely start something again, bro. That was a powerful movement. I was definitely a witness of that. And that doesn't mean that it can't happen again. It just got to happen another way. There's people that go bankrupt five times. Companies have money problems all the time. They just change their name and start again. Think about how many businesses you've heard of. It's, oh, now they're called this. Now they changed their name. Or now they got this. Or now they got bought up by another company because they had the problem. So structuring the company again to also have an exit plan to be like, man, just in case we get big and we fall out and we don't want to deal with this anymore, we could sell this concept for five times as the revenue that it made within a year. And y'all could have really been up. Yeah, okay, we falling out. Let's just sell it. All right, cool. Let's put it on the market. Go to a business broker, boom. But this is the things that I've been learning just working as a commercial real estate broker and things like that. And I'm like, wow, I didn't even know you could do that. So instead of just quitting the company, people actually sell the concept to somebody else for five times the revenue that they got in a year. Like, why ain't we doing that?
Right.
Like, damn, okay, we can't come to agreement. F it, man. Let's sell it. You get your cut, I get mine. You know how many companies do that? We got to start looking at the American business system and really be partaking that stuff, man, because it could really change. All right, things ain't going right. All right, we might have to just file collectively for bankruptcy and pay our debtors the right way or whatever. You know what I mean? That happens. I actually talked to a man on Saturday, and he was like, man, I had a company worth $125 million and I lost it all. And I'm looking like, what? You know what I'm saying? So he lost his wife, he lost his friends, but he's still pumping. Imagine having a company worth 125 million, bro. And I feel like the only difference between them and us is that they actually see themselves still pursuing after things go belly up. Trump filed bankruptcy seven times. Okay, so what? He still got Trump Tower. He still got money all over the place. So what? Now, have you ever even had the chance to file bankruptcy? Why? Because you never took a chance? Because you never put anything on the line? He's playing this smart. And he even said it in the interview. He was like, if you don't want me to do it, change the law. And everybody shut up. He was like, you basically created the laws that I took. We get to take advantage of the same laws. They can't say that we can't. So, man, it's changing our mindset, man, and keep going. Cause I would love to see something like that, bro. Like another BWO. I would love to see that. You have a powerful platform. You helped a lot of people. So think about you creating a nation amongst yourself based off of your talents that could help impact more people. You know what I mean? And you put it on individuals who, okay, man, let me look at Sherm. All right, cool. Let me Google his name. Okay, cool. Who is he connected with? What has he done? Does he have any credentials? All right, bro. Hey, can you send me the certificate? You say you got your project management professional license, right? Where can I look that up just to make sure you really got it? Oh, here's the website. Okay, cool. I'm all right, bro. I'm gonna holler at you later. Oh, he actually does have it. Okay. Hey, what companies did you say you work for? Can you prove that? You know what I mean? The same way they would do it. You know what I'm saying? The same exact way. So, yeah, man, that's all my part on that, bro. No.
Yes, sir. I need it. Shoot, I need it. Shoot, I need you to send me that email to me. I'm actually relaunching digital real estate. I launched it last Saturday, and I'm running it as a partner. So the first launch, which was last Saturday, people pay $497 one time, and they're able to partner with digital real estate and able to resell the program for 90% of the income. So that's like a no-brainer situation. I'm gonna go up on the price and add a subscription.
Let me get it now. Oh, hold
This
on.
week, but the first deal is like a no-brainer because I'm doing the presentation. So twice a month, I'm going to be the one doing the webinar. So all I got to do is present it, and I tell them to go back to the person that invited you. And you're literally making money off a business that's already made, business in a box. It's already been successful. It's already helped other businesses, and I'm constantly updating it. So I just updated it with new AI stuff that I'm using, new methods and stuff that I'm using. So it's about to be crazy. So I want to collaborate now with a trader again, that I trust, somebody that's teaching me. So after I go through it, I learn how to do it. I know what I'm looking at on the charts. Then I can introduce that to the community and say, boom, okay, now here's a way. So in case anything happens, God forbid it does, at least I know how to come in and still keep it going because I know the charts and I know how to trade and I've done it myself. So I'm working on building something back up slowly but surely, man, and seeing who I can partner with because I know I can't do it all on my own. I don't want to do it all on my own. In fact, I just perfect world for me is somebody that can come in, look at what we got, run a business, and I can just market and help people and get back in that position, but then have a relationship with the person where I can be in those meetings and we can talk about what's happening, but it ain't gotta be on my brain and have to do all it because that takes me away from the creative juices that I have to go out and get people and help people and do that type of stuff. So I'm working on it, man. And God willing, man, by the end of this year, I can have something similar to it. At least that's in about in the launching stage.
Yeah, for sure, man. But people be like, man, you do all of these different things. I'm like, if you only knew the people that I partner with, don't think that it's just me. Hell no. People are like, man, you do this, you do that. I'm like, I'm silently partnered with a lot of people. I got a black man made these shirts for me, like all kind of stuff. I wish I had the time to figure it out, but I'd rather just take a cut of somebody that's an expert than try to spend all of my time learning a new skill that this person developed over 10 years. Like, it makes no sense. Like, my time is not valuable there. That's why the CEO of McDonald's is not flipping burgers, not handing out the bags at the drive-thru. No. You know what I'm saying? But we have to learn that. Like, we are, okay, what do you do? Okay, I'm gonna fit you into this. You know what I'm saying? Okay, oh, you got a degree in that? Okay, cool. You could be useful right here. You know what I mean? Instead of being like, yeah, man, it's just a different mindset, man. It's more so just being way more business savvy than how we've been. And I'm definitely a testament of that. But then also knowing that everybody ain't going the way you do business. You're gonna have some people that's gonna say you did this or you did that, but you may have way more people to say that you did good by them. And those are the ones that matter. So I'm just get this last story. So somebody was like, yeah, Sherman's a shark. And I was like, wow, what context were they saying? Oh man, I just heard you was a shark. And I was like, okay, cool. Who'd you hear from? Okay, cool. Ask them, did I pay them on time? Ask them, do I owe them money? Ask them, did I pay them based off of the contract that we agreed upon? And I guarantee you they'll say yes every time. So I was like, what can you hold against me? My numbers ain't changed. Social media's been public for years. You know what I mean? You could find me. So there's nothing really you could say. I might be a little tough on business, but if you agree to it and we perform, then I perform and I give you what we agreed upon, you really should have nothing to say. What can you say? This is our agreement. I did my part. You don't want to do your part because you figure something out after the fact or whatever. That's not fair. Don't have me perform my part that we agreed upon and then you change up at the nah. And that's why it's important to have contracts. Because people are good at that. Oh man, I think I deserve a little more money. We already agreed on this. You don't deserve more money when the money comes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Come on. But yeah, man, this is a great conversation. Now I know that this is just going to be called like Black Business Development, something like Black Business. I'm glad we had this conversation, man. If we don't get this stuff together, like we are going to be losing. We need enterprise. Enterprise is important for our survival, for our families, because it's going to be hard for any of us to get a job making the money that we need to make for our families to survive. No, and we gonna be left behind if we don't get this together, man. Enterprise. I'm like pro that. Because man, people are starting businesses cutting paper, like all kind of random stuff. And we could do the same thing, partner, and exploit all of our talents. Brother Ben X, you have been amazing, man. Thank you for telling your story, for sharing the story, for giving your side of the story, and also being vulnerable enough to tell your story and letting us know, man. I really appreciate that.
Yes, sir, man. Thank you for having me.
Nah, no doubt, man.
We hope you're leaving this episode feeling empowered. Remember, greatness is a choice. To stay updated on our latest content and continue sharpening your edge, hit that subscribe button. Let's keep grinding together. Remember to visit militantgrind.com